Hi,
Hey,
Sharon.
Joanna.
Hi, Jen. Hi, Rose. Hi, Bruce. Hi, Sonia. Hi, Dottie.
Hi. I'm eating lunch.
Good. I'm glad you're eating.
Hey Joanna, have you ever gotten a joke with this module before? I was coming in and Gina said, "What is it about?" And I said it was about time, and she said, "I've seen your list. You don't really have time to do that today."
That's pretty good. This morning I was reading over the chat from yesterday's curriculum lab, and I saw that she was jabbing you in the chat, and it totally cracked me up.
I know. This could be the worst mistake I ever made.
She's a
Boundaries, woman, boundaries.
character. She's a character. Hi, Rachel. Hi, Kim. Hi, Naomi. Hi, Wendy. Hey, Chelsea. Hi, Raka. Hi, Trish. I feel like I haven't seen you in a while, Trish. I'm glad you're here. Okay. Well, let's get started. Speaking of time. Hey, Leah. Let me get my notes up. Hold So, okay, I want to make sure before we start to mention our call next week is on Monday, not on Tuesday. You should have that all in your calendar. We switched that a couple of months back. So it's next Monday, but I noticed somebody on the team just let me know that the reminder for our call today went out with a typo about next week. So I want to make sure that you have the right times and we'll send another correction on that. Our call next week, we'll be looking at self-love. Is on Monday the 25th from 3 to 4:30. You should have that in your calendar from way back when we changed it. It's just that a typo went out today on the timing of it. But it's next Monday, 3 to 4:30 Eastern. Okay. So all that being said, we're going to continue with our exploration of time and how to support ourselves and how to support our clients when it comes to the flow, moving with the flow of time. Last week, we started more with, I don't know, inner issues around time, philosophical issues around time, our relationship with time. And today we're going to be looking at some, for lack of a better word, time management tool. I need to find something better. It's not really time management tools, though they are, I guess, some time management tools, but kind of more outer tools that you can use with your clients. Now, as I said last week, some clients, if they're struggling with time or need to create more time, you can jump straight into the tools we're looking at today, and they'll go off and running with it. Other clients are only going to be able to use the tools that we look at today, as much as they're able to kind of shift a little bit their relationship with time. So you want to kind of, with for those clients, start with where we started last week. First, before getting to the actual tools, or get to the tools and then have the deeper conversation. All that being said, I'd love to just spend a couple minutes before we jump into the tools, hearing what's been resonating for you since last week, what's been on your mind, heart, soul about time. What have you been seeing and noticing? either for yourself or if it's come up with clients or coaching partner conversations. Sharon.
Hi. The thing that I've become, that I've been most aware of, which I'm not feeling it so much myself, but I hear it from some clients, and I think Solveig spoke to it last week, is this feeling of running out of time, either running out of time because of your age, you know, and wanting to become a mother, which I went through that when I was in my 40s, or being, you know, in your 60s, looking at, you know, well, how much longer am I going to be here? And I had these, maybe, I mean, people might not use this language, but like legacy projects or things, you know, the things we thought we would do when we retired. And so it's, I don't have anything definitive to say other than that's a theme that I hear, is this running out of time for X.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is such a common one. You know, and in a particular way, maybe at a certain age in your life, but I think it also applies, right? Because we have this concept of running out of time in our society. And so I love that you're bringing up, and let's riff on this for a moment. So if you have a client and you notice that they're approaching their life or their projects or themselves with this belief or this attitude of I'm running out of time, where do you go with that? Like, as the practitioner, and this question is for Sharon as well as everybody else, you put in the chat, what's a question you might ask this client?
That's a good question. Because I'm realizing that's a thing that I'm realizing is that we haven't with this one particular person who has retired. She feels like she's not doing anything with her life, that she's got gifts. She still needs to find like a life purpose, but we haven't addressed this directly, even though it's been coming up.
Well, so first of all, yay you for listening, for deep listening and seeing that is a piece that is intermixing and possibly holding her back or impacting her somehow from moving forward with what she wants next, right? And what you're working on. So so if you were, right, like what would be the next thing that you would do with this client? And again, Sharon, or if anybody else wants to share voice to voice or in the chat, you notice from your deep listening, not because it's been explicitly said, that a client has a really strong belief system that they're running out of time.
Yeah, and I think so that's the first place that I was starting to go was, I'm hearing that you feel like you're running out of time. Where did that belief come from?
Beautiful.
Just as a place to start.
Yeah, beautiful. So just in that statement and question alone, there was a creating awareness, right? And then an asking about, okay, so let's see, where did this come from?
Yeah.
So that you can start to maybe loosen and pick apart where those beliefs are coming from.
Yeah. And she's got a lot of wheel of self-sabotage stuff too. So that's, she suffers from clinical depression. She's been on medication for most of her life. So it's sometimes it's just kind of a slog fest to, like, you know, reflect back to her or help her have awareness about all the good things that are happening or all the things she has actually done.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So, right. So there's that piece too, right? Yeah. But so then looking at this kind of creating awareness, this idea of running out of time, starting to pick it apart. There's some great questions coming
really
up in
true.
The chat. What would you, Lisa's saying, what would you regret later if you didn't get to it? Beautiful question. Raka, it's so simple. What is there time for, yet packs a punch? What is possible in this time that you do have? Wendy is ask, is it really true? Right? So I love all of these approaches. We could also go down the line after the creating awareness, looking at origins. We could also go down the line of what's another perspective you can take on the time that you have, or ask a question to ask a client to define the difference between running out of time and making the most of the time that you have. Kelsey, did you want to add something? Looks like you're off mute.
No, sorry, I'm just accidentally off mute.
Okay. Great. Any other thoughts on this little client case study? A piece, just to remind everybody, one of the pieces we looked at last week is getting more conscious around the language that we use around time, right? If we have this phrase in our head, running out of time, running out of time, running out of time, that's going to become a belief. Maybe it already was, right? And then that's going to impact. But even if we don't believe it yet, if we can support clients to even just shift their language around that and practice that, that will ultimately lead maybe to different beliefs and different actions. Raka's saying also tie this time question to the bigger vision goals. Yes. Yes, 100%. And that's a great segue into looking at some of the tools that we're going to be looking at today too. So I'm glad that you're bringing that in there. Anyone else want to share just what's been on your mind, what's been resonating, what you've been noticing since we started this exploration of time last week? Rachel.
I just thought I'd share, like, one thing that came about from last week is that I've been regularly checking in and asking myself the question, what is my relationship with this moment right now? Which has been really helpful to just slow down and reflect.
I love that.
And I'm so much calmer. It's great.
I love it. That's so great. Like, just this taking that moment to say, what is my relationship with time in this moment? Or what is my relationship with this moment? Just that can expand time right there.
Yeah, it's
right. Awesome. And our experience of it. Beautiful. Rose.
Yes. Last week you used the phrase, your relationship with time is your relationship with life, something like that. And this last week it just really hit home. I'm preparing for a minor surgery. There is no such thing as minor surgery, I'm learning, because it's all major in my book. But anyway, I'm preparing for minor surgery this week. And I realized that it's forcing me to slow down. And it's forcing me to, I have no choice but to create time for really only what's really important. And so out of this, I'm just gaining this new appreciation of my life and time, all sort of, I mean, there, I'm feeling that relationship. And so as challenging as it is to slow down for these reasons, I'm getting so much out of less packed into my life so that I can really savor what I do have going on. So.
I love that. I love that. And I love that you've used this experience of preparing for surgery in this deep learning way. It's amazing. Naomi T took a 2-hour bath yesterday. Yes. Beautiful way to experience time differently. And Wendy's bringing up priorities. So let's go deeper into that, because Wendy, you're also segueing us into some tools. Let me get my notes here. Oh, Kim.
Well, the one thing that I tried to think about this last week, I'm not sure what prompted it. I'm sure it was one of the comments that was made last week, was sort of what's most essential to do with my time, like with a friend, like with a partner, that time could come along with me as opposed to having me be at odds with it. Just the withness was sort of a key for me.
I love that. That feels like a paradigm shift to me, the going from the being at odds to being with and partnering in a way. Nice. Okay. Whoops, those are the wrong notes. Hold on. Here we go. Okay. So let's look at some outer or concrete tools and strategies. So similar, or kind of go expanding on what Rose was just sharing, if you're not spending your time and your days according to what's most important to you, chances are that you'll end up feeling unsatisfied or disappointed, possibly harried. You may end up feeling harried even if you're spending your days according to what's most important to you, or misaligned. So, for example, if your number one priority in your life is spending time with your family, but you spend 50, 60 hours a week at the office or at work, then maybe your life doesn't reflect your priorities. Or if you highly value spending time in nature, but you never make time to go out in nature, then you might end up feeling drained or unsatisfied because you're not honoring that priority in your life. So life is busy. This is a fact. And I don't know if I mentioned this last week. I may have. My very, very first business on my own was called Soulful Coaching for Busy Women, which was so emblematic of my belief system at that time, which I didn't realize how much so until I started unwinding my beliefs about time. But anyway, for most people in modern life, life is busy. There's a lot. We all have a lot. And it can be really easy for us, and I don't even like this language that I'm about to use, to lose control of how we spend time, because maybe it's not a control thing, right? So maybe there are better words for that. We have so many obligations, yet, as I said last week, how we spend our time is the essence of our lives. And when we don't live our lives according to our priorities and our values, when we kind of go on autopilot and we end up spending time that is not aligned with our priorities and our values. And I know I can say I am guilty of that at times. I'm guessing we all are. That's when things start to feel misaligned. That's when we don't feel as satisfied. That's when we don't feel as energized. And that's when we're also many times more prone to feel that we're not spending our time wisely, the way we would like to. Does that make sense so far? Yeah. So here's one exercise that I do this one for myself every couple of years because I get off track too, or because things change. Here's an exercise that I have found to be very powerful. It's called a bullseye exercise. So take a moment right now and write down all of the things that are important to you in your life. When I say things, I don't mean objects, but I mean things like self-care, family time, spiritual time, work, or socializing, or if you have particular hobbies, sports, travel, community. Be as specific as possible. And as you make this list, this is an important piece, pay special attention to write down only your true priorities, the ones that are connected to your heart, not the have-tos or the shoulds, right? Like maybe yoga is more of a have to or a should. It's not actually a true priority. That's just one example. Right? So, really, the true priorities. Right. And maybe there are some things that were a priority a few years ago that aren't as much anymore, or vice versa. And feel free to share some items from your list in the chat so we can all share ideas. Julia, did you have a question?
Yes, hi. So I noticed that I put down very important things, but I didn't put down my business. And yet that's where I spend a lot of my time. It is important to me. And when I thought about that, it came up as I have to work. It's not an option. It's not, you know. So does that mean anything?
Well, yes, so probably. What, tell me if I'm getting this right. What I'm hearing in there is, and this may have to do with time or may not. My sense is it has to do with time tangentially, is in that it impacts how you experience your time since you spend a lot of time on work. But what I'm hearing is that even though you love your work, there's some like have to or energy that's come in there a little bit. Am I getting that right?
Yes. And
Yeah.
I didn't even know that until now.
Yeah, so that's an important awareness, right? And that's something to work on, right? To journal on, to see why are you feeling that have to around it, you know, to pick that apart. But what I would say is for this exercise that we're doing right now, I would put work on that list, because it is a, even though it's in part a have to, and you want to look at your relationship with work, right? This is about resetting your relationship with work, this awareness that's come through. I think it is also true that it's a priority for you and a desire.
It is. It is. Yes. Thank you.
Good. Yeah. Good. Lisa's saying it's a long list. Yes, mine is too. Sharon's saying physical activity, enhancing strength of muscle and bones. I like the specificity of that. That's great. Meditation, prayer. Natalie, a priority is dancing. I love that. Music, journaling, meditation, prayer, nature. Grief is on the list. Beautiful. Linda saying being in the best health and fitness, yes, that you've ever been in your life, yes. Spending time with friends, dinner parties, deep conversations, that's also one of mine. I find sometimes that gets thrown off unless I'm actively paying attention to that. Laughter and play, surfing, yes. My partial's putting her partner. I'm glad that you're putting that down, because sometimes we can forget that that's a priority. Yes. These are all beautiful. Okay. So now some of these, a few of these that I'm seeing here may not make their way into where we're going next with this exercise, though they're very important to note. So for example, Linda, integrity and transparency and freedom to make mistakes with those I love. I love that as a priority. That may not necessarily be something that you spend time on, because where we're looking at next is like how we're spending our time, but you can decide for yourself if that's like a time thing or not. Heather says living deeply. If there are activities that take up time in order to live deeply, Heather, get more specific there. What is that? Okay. So next step from here. The next step is best if you take out a fresh piece of paper. You're going to want to use some space for this. And I should have had like a model to show you, but the next instruction is to draw, I think it's called a bullseye or a target. So I would have like basically three or four concentric circles that take up the entirety of the page so that it ends up looking like you were playing darts, right? So three or four concentric circles. Okay. So now I want to acknowledge that this next piece might, for some of you, be a little difficult. I'm going to be asking you to make some decisions about what's most important to you from this list of priorities. This might be hard, but it is important, because if you don't consciously make the decision, just by default, it gets made for you. Does that make sense, what I'm saying? So if you want to harness or have more optimal relationship with your time, a piece of that is making some hard decisions about priorities. So my invitation is to look at the list that you just made of your priorities and pick your top two. Your top two. And put those two in the very middle circle of the bullseye, the smallest one in the middle. What are your top two? And put those in the middle. Linda, absolutely, 100%. If that has meaning for you, for sure. Okay. Now pick the next two most important priorities. And those two go in the next circle out. And then from there, pick the next three, depending on how many you have on your list, pick the next top three. And that goes in the next circle. Lisa, that's okay. It doesn't sound like cheating, unless you feel like you need to list out each of the separate self-care pieces. I know for me, when I do this, I actually, I do need to list out the separate things because or else it becomes a big blob in a way. But each person, right, always coach the what based on the who. Each of us are different. Okay, so you've got two in the middle, then two in the next ring. And then three in the next string. And then anything left over all goes in the last outer ring. Okay, so what we're starting to create is an ideal picture of how you spend your time or live your life. It's not that what's at the center takes up the most time necessarily. Like work for me is not in my center. It's one of the, I haven't done this exercise in the last year, but it's probably like the next ring out or the next ring out after that. It's never in my center, but it does take up probably most of my time, right? So this is an ideal picture, not of what takes up the most time, but of what is most important to you. The center is most important. That's why it's central. And then we go to the outer rings. When you go to set up your ideal schedule, again, the idea isn't that the center rings take up the most time, but the idea is as you set time aside in your ideal schedule, and we'll get there in a few minutes, you put time aside for the things in the center first. Those are your first priority to make sure those are in your schedule. And then the next string is next priority to make sure those things are in your schedule. And so on and so forth. The things on the outer ring may not make their way in or may not make their way in consistently. And that's a bummer. Yes, but it is also as it should be, if you want to spend your life, your time, aligned with your priorities. So take a moment and look at what you've just created. What can you observe? What are you learning so far from this process? And how does what you've just written down match up with your life as it is currently, with your time as you spend it currently? No judgment here at all, right? Just for observation and awareness purposes. Linda.
Yeah, so I think I kind of cheated a little bit because I in my center, I have intimacy slash connection because I see them both very tightly coupled, and then health and fitness. So that's my center. And then the next one is business success and play. And then after that, I just felt really complete, even just with those that I covered a lot. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, spirit to me, spirituality, in order to have intimacy, connection, business success and play, it's engaged. So it's part of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, so it's just like, to me, it's like administrative savvy or organization or, you know, that thing. But the lion's share is covered in those first two rings. And am I acting consistent with that? I would say probably for the first time in my life, yes. And then what was the other question we're supposed to answer?
Yeah, just what you're seeing or observing.
Yeah, I'm seeing is that, yeah, what I'm seeing is over the years, number one, absolutely, for most of my adult life, work and business success was like this part of the circle. And then everything else was just like a little sliver,
mm-hmm.
that never really got any attention. Everything else was like a distant second, third, fourth, 99th, you know? So I've really, really shifted my focus, and my life feels so much more joyful, and I don't define myself by business success or that I'm happy no matter what kind of thing.
Yeah,
so that's
there's so many celebrations in this, right? I mean, you're living your life according to your priorities. You've been able to unhook yourself from, you know, certain shoulds around what success means or how you identify.
Yeah. Who am I? What do you do? Yeah. I mean, I still get a little bit, you know, because I'm still haven't figured out who I'm coaching to, but that'll happen soon. But it's, even though I'm still sorting that yeah. out, and I feel some discomfort with it. And when somebody asks me, what do? I still know it's not who I am.
Yeah, that's beautiful, right? So it's just really beautiful to see all of that. Thank you. If it feels valuable, then a next step for you might be, because I know you've said there are some business things that you haven't been getting to that you want to, a next step might be to do the same exercise over, but just with business activities. What are the current priorities in your business? List them all out and then create the bullseye, and then look for the times that you have set aside in your calendar to work on your business. Are you fitting this, making sure the center thing is in first, that you're getting that done, right? And the next. So that might be a good next place for you to go, Linda.
Oh, that's a brilliant guidance and one where I really need to put attention. So thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you. I'm happy to hear it, and I'm happy to see in the chat Lisa and Sharon, you both are also living in alignment with your priorities. Well done. It takes me work to get there, and I often am not. So I'm so happy to hear it. Wendy.
Hi. Yeah, I'm wondering about core values along with this exercise and how often we might be aware or not aware of where we're aligned. And I'm noticing because someone I'm working with, we worked on core values some time ago, and there's one that she's having trouble bringing into her life. So that's kind of where we focus. So this, I love this exercise. So, you know, we might work with this, but I'm just thinking to myself that if I were to look at my core values, I wonder if that would line up with what I have listed here or not. Am I missing things? I just am curious. I want to explore that a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that inquiry. And I love that you're bringing in this, and thank you, this question of values, because, you know, hopefully like inherent in the list of priorities is also our values, but it can also be helpful alongside of that to, you know, come back and specifically ask a client, okay, and what's your top value or your top two values? No more than three. Are those reflected in these priorities that you've shared, right? So that's another way in as well.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Solveig.
My Wi-Fi is a little funky this morning, so I hope this works. But I just want to say that I just realized that I don't know if you can see this, but I needed to put like fun and pleasure like infused into all things. Like and thinking about values, I was like, okay, well, I had put fun as a category, and then I just felt like, no, it has to go into everything as much as possible. So I just wanted to add that to the conversation. I don't know if values can just go like being infused into the other things that you're prioritizing, but I wanted to add that.
I love that. And I think for some values, it's both, right? So, you know, one kind of trick with time or feeling more satisfied with the time that you spend, and we do this in our Get It Done sessions, is it's not like, okay, what am I going to do next, but what's the energy that I want to do this next thing is? What is the energy that I'm bringing to this next chunk of time when I get this thing done, right? So that's the infusion piece. And then also there is something to be said of like, what are activities that are just pure play and fun, or pure sacredness, if that's the energy or the value, or right, pure generosity, or whatever it is.
Yeah. I just realized that I know in the past that was something that got left out a lot of. This was a realization a few years ago. Like, I'm not having enough fun. So I realize that now that has to be infused in everything I'm doing.
Yeah. No, I'm glad you're bringing it up, and it's an important point for sure. Good. Anyone else want to share what you're seeing or noticing? No? All right. So let's keep on going. So when I do this, if I see that things are misaligned, which I often do, I don't use it to beat myself up or to get upset or sad or any of the things. I use it, and this is also how I use it with clients, you know, and there may be a deeper discussion with the client, right, as you go through it, but then kind of like the next outer tool is, all right, so then let's create an ideal schedule based on your priorities. And so a couple things about creating ideal schedules. This is something that I started doing when I started my business. I didn't do it before then. But because there was so many things to do in the business, and then it was taking up a lot of time, and I was realizing I wasn't getting to priorities in my life, and I wasn't getting to certain priorities in my business. They were easy to put off, to just do the regular answer emails, or, you know, like the things that you know you're going to do no matter what. So I, you know, this is when I really started to kind of live by an ideal schedule. So it's been quite a number of years now, and it has been such a helpful productivity, number one productivity tool for me, along with blueprinting, which is a tool that would fall into our class today as well. It has been such a great tool for me to feel more aligned with my priorities. And it is also a tool that I have never hit at 100% or even 90% ever. So as we go, I want to be clear on this, as we go into creating ideal schedules, at the best of times for me, my actual schedule is matching my ideal schedule at about 85% would be very generous, right? But that being said, 80% is pretty fabulous, I think, right? So we're not applying any myth of perfection. We're not robots. We're not always gonna like start at this time and stop at that time, or not get distracted by this, or have a, you know, a life thing come up, or just not do it, or, you know, whatever it is. But I really like to think of the ideal schedule as a guidepost. One that I know I'm not ever gonna follow 100%, but it really does help inform how I organize my schedule and my time. The way I create my ideal schedule is I start with my center ring, and I like to do a weekly schedule. That's what works best for me. So, and I'm a pen and paper kind of gal. And so I have a column, and we're not going to do this together right now. I'm just going to describe it to you, and I'll send instructions and you can do it on your own. But I create, you know, I usually do Monday through Friday. I don't necessarily have sometimes I've had the weekend in there, other times not. You do it how you like, but I have my five columns, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And I first look at the center, and whatever is in the center, that's what I schedule in first. It may not take up most of my time. Those may not, like I said earlier, those may not be the activities that take up the most of my time or that I spend most of my time on, but they're the ones that I want to make sure are in my calendar before I put anything else in. If I don't do that, then the work schedule for me is the work is what gets right too much. The work is just going to take up, and then there's not going to be time for the top priorities. So if it's exercise for you, if it's spiritual time for you, if it's time with your partner, whatever it is, block, it might be more than one time block a week, right? But block those times out first. When are you going to be exercising? When, for me, it's like, when am I doing my journal and ritual and spirit connection time? Block those out first, and then do that ring by ring by ring with your time. When I do what I suggested to Linda, which is to then also, okay, now I know what my work time is. When I then hone in on the work bullseye, what are the priorities for work? That's when I'm doing my newsletter regularly. That's when I'm posting on social media more regularly. That's when I'm getting my, alongside with the blueprinting, because I've put it in there. when I first block out my business or my work time, I like to first block out three general areas. Really two, I guess you can say. So the first is, I call it, and I learned this from one of my first business coaches, time in. So time in my business are the times that I am making available to schedule with clients or to schedule classes. That's time in. Time on is time that I'm working on my business, not that I'm working in my business. So that's marketing, curriculum development, outreach, etc. In my ideal schedule, I have 30 minutes set out at the beginning of every workday for answering emails. That is one of the things that I never hit. I go back to emails throughout the day, or it takes more than 30, you know, all the things. Again, I'm just sharing this to say, like, it's okay if you don't hit it exactly, right? But it's a really helpful guidepost. If you know that you want a regular newsletter, and every week you've got in your schedule, on your ideal schedule, you know, Mondays 1 to 2:30, work on your newsletter, right? If that's a priority, you want to put that into the schedule. You'll be more likely to actually do it. Okay, let me see what's in the chat. LV, what did you want me to repeat? Or maybe I already repeated it or it became clear. Let me know. You got it? Okay, great. Linda is asking, taxes. So for you, Linda, I know because you've brought that up before. Yes. I would put that onto you, and that can come off your ideal schedule once taxes are done, right? But I would put that onto your ideal weekly schedule and have time blocks for that. What cues do you have so far, or what are you seeing, or what's coming together so far? Naomi's saying, I grossly underestimate the amount of time that my tasks take. Yes, many of us do. So one thing that I learned when I was in the museum world and I had to put together budgets, and you put together budgets for, you know, for your company, Naomi, the very first budget I put together, I remember my mentor at the museum was like, and now add 10% to every single thing that you budgeted for. Time and money are the same like that. So if I think that something is going to take me an hour, I'll put in an hour 15 for it. What other questions? And also, what are you seeing? What's coming together? And how might this be useful? We've got some more tools I want to look at today, but I just want to hear, and how might this be useful for you, for your clients? Linda is asking, what if you schedule something but don't honor it? Well, I've never done that, Linda, so I can't. I'm totally kidding. So, Linda, do you want to come on for a second?
Yeah. I mean, so we're not talking about a one-off instance, but, you know, for example, taxes or certain things I'll just avoid and I'll just put it in my agenda, you know, and I think it took me a few years to actually honor my exercise commitments, you know?
Yeah. So how did that happen for you with the exercise? What are some tools that you can learn?
Yeah, great question. Well, it was just that I tried a lot of different things and they didn't work. And then I finally found this online group that changed everything, you know, and And if you would have said that I would have lost 15 pounds and gotten the best shape of my life, looking at little Zoom squares, I would, and working out at home, I would tell you you're absolutely nuts, but that's what happened. So it was being in the right energy soup of other people who were showing up and giving their best. So yeah. Even though they were strangers, you know, we
completely know. So there's in the chat, a bunch of people are saying accountability, and that yeah. is right. So that's one, if there's something that you're just not getting to and you've lived this, right. Accountability, it can be an accountability partner. It can be a group. I have some private clients that I've paired up as accountability partners, and they have just get it done time together every week where the, you know, it's not like, no, now I'm going to work on this other thing. It's like the one partner knows that the other, you're doing your taxes for this hour. I'm doing right. So sometimes if you really can't get to something, that accountability can make a huge difference. Sometimes it is about going deeper into befriend your fear or looking at what some of the resistances are. But, you know, the quicker fix that sometimes is just the quick fix is the accountability. So I'd try that first.
Okay, that's excellent. Well, I have a question. How do you, when you're working with a client, how do you go from, I mean, do you have them first do core values and then you go to priorities? How do you, because a lot of people aren't necessarily clear of what their core values are. So what's that interplay or timing?
Yeah, it's not always the same. You know, it's different depending on a client. But what I will say, and we spoke about this a little bit in our visioning module, through my welcome packet questionnaire and through our first call, and I'm always listening from the sales process when I have the conversation, I'm always listening for values and creating awareness around values and then really infusing that or asking questions if it's changed or reminders into everything we do, whether it's visioning a project, executing a project, choosing priorities, making a decision about how to have a conversation, a tough conversation. We come back to values a lot.
Okay, brilliant. Thank you.
Yeah, great questions. Lisa.
So I'm also a huge fan of calendar blocking, and I've been doing it for years, and I want to share two things that were huge for me. Number one is I won't see clients till 11 or later. And I know that's really hard because a lot of them want morning appointments, but that's my time. It's my time to exercise. It's my time for me. It's my time to do my most thinking work because my brain is clearer then. The other thing I want to share is that what really shifted for me was when I stopped looking at it as time management and looked at it as energy management. Mm-hmm. And I thought, how does my energy flow throughout the day? And what should I put in those parts of the day to maximize the best use of my energy and brain? Like certain things I can do if I was asleep, and I'll put those later when my energy is lower because I know I can do them well enough, but other things I can't, and I'll put those at a different point in the day.
Yes, I'm so glad you're bringing this into the conversation. 100%. I had a similar experience the first few years of my practice. I was seeing clients starting at 8 a.m. That wasn't the best use of my energy at that time of day. And I'm similar to you. I like to do my exercise and my inner work and all of that in the morning and then start. So thank you for bringing that in. Really important. Sharon.
Yeah, I love that, Lisa. Brought that in. It's reminding me of, you know, back at the beginning of my massage practice, I worked 6 days a week and then I worked 5 days a week, but my weekend was like Sunday and Monday, and Saturday was a busy day. It was a really busy day. And I realized I really wanted to make space for a relationship in my life, like really have some time. And I decided I wanted a Monday through Friday schedule so that when I met someone, my weekends would be available. And I mean, I had one client, she was really pissed at me. I had other people that I just like, I couldn't see them because I don't work at late into the evening, but it was so important for me. And I don't remember what the timeline was, but I I mean, at some point I did meet my husband who didn't live near me. And so we only had weekends to spend together. So it was like, yeah, I pissed somebody off. Yeah, I lost some clients that I loved to work with.
But
I focused on my priority.
Yes. Yes. It's I'm so glad you're sharing.
Things work out. Like, it's okay if people get mad at you.
That's the thing. And it worked out. It
worked out. And she found somebody else to go to for massage, and you know,
yeah. And so
the world didn't end.
Yes. And so what you're sharing also brings up another point. We're not getting too deep into boundaries in this conversation, but this exercise of identifying priorities and then putting, you know, it can also support someone to uphold aligned boundaries for themselves. Good. All right. Anything else on this? If not, I'm going to move on to another tool. Okay. Oops, wrong notes again. Hold on. Okay. So just to say for me, and this is just how my kind of mind works, my ideal schedule, I work it with the blueprinting. We won't go over blueprinting today because I've already gone over that a couple of times. We look at that in our Q&A calls, but I work my ideal schedule in conjunction with blueprinting every month. Okay, where I want to go next is, let's for a little bit talk about distractions. And we could do a full call just on distractions. I have in other programs, but for right now, we'll just talk about it a little bit. Distractions are one of those things that can eat away at our time. Even if we have the ideal schedule and we're clear on our priorities, if we let distractions get the best of us, we can't leverage our time as well. And you know, I like to put things into categories. And so for me, I kind of think of there's two categories of distractions. And just for lack of better words, my two categories are major distractions, even if they're not actually major, you'll see what I mean by that, and then daily distractions. So a major distraction is kind of like a one-time thing that it drains you of your time and energy because it needs to be fixed in a way, but you just keep on putting it off. And then so it then wastes your time. So for example, if your coffee machine is broken and then you have to take like a longer route in the morning to make your coffee, right? As opposed to just taking the half hour to drop the coffee machine off to get it fixed or buy a new one, right? Like, that's an example of a major distraction. Or if you haven't taken the time, this is me, to put all your passwords in one place. And so every time when you need to enter a password into something, it takes 5 minutes instead of 30 seconds because you have no idea what the password is. You go looking in all the different places and you call your husband because maybe he knows the password, right? Like, major distractions, you know, broken phone screen, etc., right? It's like, kind of like a one-time thing, but it's draining you of your time and energy, You just need to make the time, organize the file system, get your emails organized, clean your office, right? So that you can, right? So that's one type of distraction that you want to be aware of, support your clients to be aware of, see if you can work that in. And then daily distractions are more of the like consistent things, like if you obsessively check social media when you should be writing your marketing content or working on your curriculum, or you keep on going back to checking email, or you need snacks really more than you need, like you're distracting yourself with other things, right? So becoming aware of that, creating some plans, maybe accountability or ways to handle or tackle those things. So for example, I don't have social media or email on my phone at all. That's one of the ways I handle that. I have lately, in full transparency, like let my email checking get out of control. And so one way soon that I will work with that distraction is to keep my email closed when I'm in front of the computer and working on other things, and designate maybe 3 times a day where I'll go in and check it, versus having it open all the time, except for when I'm teaching or with clients, to just ding at will and distract me. All right, let me pause here. Thoughts, ideas, questions on distractions? Linda.
This is two suggestions. I'm sure you've heard one of them. LastPass is a really easy tool to store all your passwords.
Yeah, and John has that, and I still have that. But yes, okay. Thank you, because I need to do it.
Yeah. Okay. I if you need support in that, I'll be glad to ping you and get the misery over with. But the second thing is this is recommended by somebody about handling social media. If you're you know checking a lot, is you do your social media, let's say on your phone, or even on your laptop, whatever it is. And when you're done with that, whatever you need to do with that device, you literally put it in a central location in your house. So it's literally outside of what you are doing, you know, so, and then you go and retrieve it when you actually have to do the work. So rather than always having it always there, always accessible. And so I'm considering doing that, to see how that works out. But yeah, just want to pass that on.
Yeah, no, I love that. And yes, please, let's hear different ideas 100%. Like if I'm working on curriculum, I am not near my phone, I am not near my computer, I am somewhere where I can just focus on that. It really makes a difference, especially the technology thing. It is an addiction, and this is already old news, but in case, just as a reminder, if anyone didn't know, there have been studies shown that anytime we hear a ding or we see an email come in, a little bit of dopamine is dropped in our system. And so that, you know, that actually creates literally that physical addiction to it. And to break that, we actually have to be really intentional with our technology.
Yeah. So finding that spot, like anywhere in your home where you go and you always put it when you're done with that task. And so that you had to be really intentional. Am I actually going to be working on this? Otherwise you don't have it with you.
Yeah, I love it. Yes. Elvie.
Yeah, I was going to just share the same thing. In the morning, I intentionally keep my phone off for the first at least hour.
But then I get a little stressed because I turn it on and I have something that came in that may be important related to my girls are both not at home anymore. Or so it's finding that balance of, it does help with like starting the day in the right, with the right foot. I really, really like it. And I keep my phone off, and I mean, on no notifications all day, or silent, I mean. Yeah. But then I miss things sometimes that I'm like, oh, shoot, that reminder didn't come through. So it's just finding that balance, I think. And the other thing I feel, I'm starting to welcome social media again, because I can become really like, I don't want to even check it, but that's where I'm looking to grow my business now that I'm virtual. So it's just, again, finding that, love affair that has boundaries around it.
A good place to start is with the ideal schedule, right? So What are the times that you're checking in social media?
Mm-hmm.
And it can be 3-4 times a day if you feel like you need to comment and this and that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's turned off the rest of the time. Yeah. Now that's easier said than done, right? But it's something at least to have that guidepost and then work towards. For sure.
Yeah, definitely the time blocking. I'm working on that muscle. Yeah.
Good. And I love that you keep your phone off in the morning. So many people, I don't keep my phone in my bedroom at all. When I go to bed, like I keep it downstairs because mm-hmm. or else I was waking up and first thing checking my phone, instead of remembering my dreams, setting my energy for the day.
Yeah.
So exactly as you said, like how we start our day actually impacts the quality of our experience of time.
Uh-huh. Yeah. My nervous system just does not like, I wasn't really that bad. Like my husband wakes up and he checks the news. I'm like, why are you doing this to yourself? But I can't manage him. So I'm like, why? Seriously, you're taking in all this negative stuff right away. But it makes a huge difference not to get inundated with stuff first thing in the morning.
Yeah, 100%. Okay, good. Let's look at a couple of other, just want to give you different kind of inroads in for yourself and when you're working with clients to support them to create more time. Another place you can look is delegation. So what are the things that you're doing or your clients are doing that they actually don't need to be doing, or that somebody else can be doing. A good exercise, if you haven't done it, and I like to do this every couple of years for myself as well, is to track yourself for 2 or 3 days. And you can focus just on work pieces, or you can focus on everything from morning till night, and write down everything that you spend your time on. Go through your day, write down everything that you spend your time on. And then from there, you can look at all those things and divide it into 4 categories. So first category is, what are the things on that list after you've tracked yourself that continue doing as is? It's working really well. You want to be doing it, et cetera. Second category is, what are the things that you're doing that are actually useless and just don't need to be done? And like, just cross them off. Like, don't do that thing anymore. Third category, yes, they do. It is important to continue to do those things, but they could be done more efficiently. And then fourth category is not worth your time and you can delegate out. So what are the things to continue doing as is? what are the things that actually you don't need to be doing anymore. This is eye-opening, you know, like, for example, in business, I don't know, last year I got on, what's that social media platform? It was like the newest, latest thing. I can't remember. I spent a little time on it. And then I was like, I don't need to be Clubhouse. Yes. And I was like, this is a no, I don't need another social media platform, right? Like off the list completely. You know, in our household, there are also maybe some cleaning things that I decided are just off the list completely. Cause right. Like, yeah, Elle's room is still going to get messy, so why even bother? But anyway, so continue doing as is. Things that you actually don't need to do, they're useless. They're just busy work. They're a waste of time. Things that you want to continue doing, but you could do them more efficiently. And then what can be done by someone else, either paid or not paid? When I say someone else, like it could be if you have a team or something you need for work, but it might be if you live with other people in your household, right? Or something like that. Now, for that category of doing things more efficiently, kind of like to get into a deeper tool there, think about systems. So can you systematize things? Oftentimes a system will create more time and space. So one example is like in our household, we've systematized food shopping by creating a list that I print out every week of all the things that we eat. You know, one, I just took an hour one day. I went through our entire refrigerator and our entire pantry, and I just wrote down all the things. And then I print that out every week, and I check off the things that we need for that week. And that's that with the food shopping. And it's so much easier. I have many, many systems, right? Like, an onboarding system of clients in your business, right? Think about the amount of time and energy to reinvent the wheel each time versus knowing step one is the contract, step two, right? Like, some things aren't good for systems, but in general, if you can create even newsletter production, you know, it might be you have a newsletter system. If you've been having trouble with that or that's not efficient, maybe your system is there's two sittings for writing the article, one sitting for editing, and then one sitting for, if you're doing it on your own, getting it into the system and sending it out. And you know the days of the week that you're doing that, right? Wash, rinse, repeat. All right. Thoughts on delegation, these four categories that I'm talking about? And here's the thing I'll say about systems. Don't try to put 10 systems in place at once. Notice, make the categories, see where you could institute a system, and then pick the first one that you want to do and just work on that. Thoughts, questions, ideas on these categories and creating systems? Rachel.
My question isn't entirely related to this, but it came up as I was thinking about it.
Yeah.
One thing I was kind of curious, one thing that comes up with some of my clients is that they feel they need to clean everything before they can sit down and do like their creative work or their work. And yeah, this is like common for a lot of things. Like, and I was wondering if you had any thoughts on how you approach that. But like the whole place needs to be clean, or they need to declutter everything before they can start anything.
Like the whole house?
yeah, I don't know. It's like this never ending cleaning needs to be done and they don't start the thing.
Yeah. So, well, let me ask you for, before I give you some ideas, let me ask you first, you think about everything we've learned in Sacred Depths, which is what you know about human beings. And of course, each person is different, but where might you go with that? What do you get curious about when you've got a client that needs to clean everything before getting the thing done?
All right, I knew you were going to ask me this, and my mind is kind of blank. I don't know. I guess, like, I'm not sure, actually. I'm just worried. Yeah, I'm not actually sure.
So one thing that comes up for me when I hear it is it a distraction, right? Is there a fear of getting the creative work done, or resistance to it? So that might be one place to look. Another place is, so I actually can't, I admit I cannot get work done. Like I can answer an email if my desk is messy, but I can't do big creative work at my desk if my desk is messy or if I know there's stuff, not the whole entire house, really, but in my immediate vicinity. So if that's the case, number one could be an exploration of like, what are the boundaries of the cleaning, right? Does it have to be the whole house or can it be in this place? Sometimes for me, I just move to another room and that takes care of the problem.
Cool, thank you.
Yeah, good question. What's sparking for you as we look at
this? I really like the, what are the boundaries of the cleaning? And I think for me, I think I get a little bit scared to be confrontational in, like, even for me, like asking, is this a distraction for you? Might seem confrontational and like, oh, but you know, they've told me that the cleaning is the most important thing, but my intuition is saying that this is a distraction.
Yeah, so
I get a bit nervous about.
Well, remember, this is beautiful because, well, this is going to give us an opportunity to go all the way back to our third module in this program, creating awareness skills. It's okay if you don't remember it all. I know I'm putting you on the spot, but even just a little bit. So like, how would you create awareness around that if it feels a little edgy?
Could I ask like a why question? Like, why is it important for you to do the cleaning? Or I don't know. No, I don't want to ask that.
So that's great.
What's in it for you? Like, if you get the cleaning done.
I love both of those questions. Why is it important? What's in it for you? And if you also wanted to be upfront about what you're seeing, but you didn't want it to feel pushy, you could say, you know, tell me if I'm getting this right, because I might not be. But I do wonder if some of the cleaning is a distraction for you or a protection for you from focusing on this thing that you really want to focus on. Is there any juice to that when I say it? And kind of look at it from there as well.
Thank you. That's really helpful.
Good. Okay. So we looked at a bunch of different tools today. What is the tool? I want to invite each of you to pick one place to lean into for yourself. Maybe you want to create a system. Maybe you want to do some delegation work. Maybe you want to get more serious about your distractions, your technology distractions, or possibly fixing something that's draining your time and energy. Maybe you want to create your ideal schedule. Stephanie wants to get serious about distractions. Awesome. LV, honoring your schedule, keeping your accountability partner. Lisa's going to clean her desk. Yes, Heather, delegation. Beautiful. Tracy is going to create an ideal schedule and reduce online and social media distractions. Ah, Natalie is going to get a separate alarm for her room so she doesn't have to keep her phone in her room. I like that. Recommitting to your schedule, Julia. Kim.
One thing that I just realizing that I was doing for myself with my technology, and I do a lot of turning it off as well, but is I have a hard time remembering things. I make a commitment, I have a hard time remembering it, and time can go by and I don't, it's like it's gone. So I set alarms for myself on my phone to remind me of things that I have committed to, or a way, or even asking me about my energetic way of being, you know, is love my only motive here? And it comes up and I can stop in my day to do those things. And so sometimes I'm either limiting my technology or I'm using it to try and support me because my memory is crud. I mean, it's just gone. And so I'm kind of back and forth on all of that. And I don't know whether that's sabotaging myself at the same time, because I kind of do both.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll get to that question in a sec. But first, I just want to thank you for bringing this idea in, because for all of us, it's such a beautiful way of how technology can support us. You know, take that moment to pause, or are you doing this with love, or remember, you know, whatever that thing is that you don't, right? So I think that there can be a lot of good that comes with it.
And you can actually name your alarms, so then that when they come on, when the notification comes on, you don't even have to remember what that alarm is for. It tells you what it is.
So yes. It's great. So what is the right balance for you?
I'm easily distracted. So I think I have to really select carefully and be intentional about what I choose to have show up for me, because it's like a squirrel. I'm just going somewhere when the ding is really actually quite interesting. And I don't know about others, but my phone dings and my iPad dings kind of near the same time. And so there can be a lot of dinging going on if I'm not turning it off. And I have to be purposeful is all. I don't really know the balance. Is hard for me to know. Is it different at different times?
So, but I think that's a really great place to start, right? Is to go back and look at all of the reminders and then really decide which ones are serving and which ones aren't. And which ones actually need dings and which ones maybe don't need dings, but you'll see them when you, like, I don't get, for me, and this, what's right for me isn't what's right for everybody else. My phone doesn't ding ever at all. I don't get any dings. I will get, and I don't get any, the only notifications I really get are text notifications, but deciding what dings and what not dings, right? So what are the things that you'll look at it, the reminder is great, and it's fine if it's a half hour later when you pick up your phone and you don't need it right then and there, versus the ones that you need right then and there. Elvie.
I just have a quick question. How do you do that, Joanna? Because I keep my phone on silent. My alarm goes off regardless. Like it will ring. Like if my alarm went off right now and it's silent, my phone, it will like, it will make the sound. I can look it up. I can Google it. Because I'm like, how does she do that?
I don't have alarms. So that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. That's probably. Yeah.
Oh, and Rose is saying she has angelic harps ringing for one of her alarms. So that's nice. It's not like a dog being distracted by a squirrel, but it's a nice sort of. All right, we're at 2:30. So I'm going to say that we're complete for today. Enjoy playing with all of this for yourself, for your clients, if it comes up in your client work. Let us know how it goes. I'll see you on Monday.